Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and today we are beginning Sifrei Ksuvim, Writings. We will be studying Tehillim Perek Aleph, the first Perek of Tehillim. For those who are continuing on from Nevi'im, Mazel Tov, and continued Hatzlacha in your learning. For those who are joining, welcome. In opening up this Sefer, I'd like to take a moment to share how the next 150 Prakim will be taught. The Sefer has natural blocks that will be taught by talented educators. Some blocks are consecutive, like the Prakim of Shir Hamalos, Kabbalah Shabbos, the Halalukas, Hallel. Others are thematically linked, but not consecutive. Using the same educator to teach these thematically linked Prakim, we hope to hopefully see the Book of Tehillim unfold in a unique way. We will also hear from other educators along the way who will help to round out the 150 Prakim of Tehillim. So let us begin. We will be learning Perek Aleph and Beis together. As we will discuss tomorrow, the two Prakim are connected both in theme and structure. First, let us look at Perek Aleph and lay out an overview that will provide a map for our travels. The first Perek of Tehillim contains six psukim that can be divided into three parts. The first section describes the differences between the deeds of the righteous man and the deeds of the Rishaim, the evildoers. The second section, the middle section, compares the righteous person and the evil person using the parable of a tree. This parable sets up the final third section, which emphasizes the results and outcomes of the deeds of the righteous as compared to the evildoers. The opening words of Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the man. These opening words of Tehillim connect us back in both time and concept. The Medrash Shochar Tov shares that Moshe presented the five books of the Torah to the Jewish people, and David presents us with the five books of Tehillim. David's words begin where Moshe's words leave off. Moshe concludes Sefer Devarim with the words, Ashrecha Yisrael mi chamocha, how praiseworthy are you, Israel, who can compare to you, in Devarim 33:29. And the first words of Tehillim begin with the words Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the man, picking up where Moshe left off. But rather than focusing on the children of Israel as Moshe does, here we speak of a man. Before we read Pasuk Aleph, take a moment and think, how would you describe a praiseworthy man? Words that come to my mind are authentic, honest, kind, giving, selfless, spiritually seeking, devoted, inspired, and inspiring. And I'm sure you can come up with other words as well. Let's look at the first pasuk and hear how this man, Ashrei Ha'ish, the man who is so praiseworthy, is described. First pasuk reads, Ashrei Ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rishaim, ubederech hata'im lo amad, uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav. Praiseworthy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, and stood not in the path of the sinful, and sat not in the session of the scorners. Several questions come to mind. Why is this man referred to as an ish rather than a tzaddik? Especially if we are speaking of rishaim, evildoers, why contrast the rasha, the evildoer, with an ish? Why one man and many evildoers? And probably the thing that stands out most sharply is why describe him as avoiding all these negative situations rather than highlighting the positive attributes? Wouldn't you rather open up the book of Tehillim with, praised is the man who seeks good, who runs to do chesed and achieves greatness through the pursuit of spirituality? But David HaMelech is a realist, and he understands the ways of the world. David begins Tehillim with the struggle of the every man, each person navigating a world that doesn't always put God first. It is a struggle with choices and confronting advice being given by parties who don't have your best interest in mind. And listen to the words of the pasuk. The world is in a state of motion, going, standing, sitting. Our Ish realizes that if he would walk with the evildoers, he'll end up standing with them. And if he stands with them, he'll end up sitting with them. Who knows where this association can take him? The pasuk describes three types of people, Rishaim, Chataim, and Leitzanim, Who are these people that the Ish is making every effort to avoid? Based on the root words, Rav Shamsham Felhirsch describes who these people are, who these characters are that we're up against in our everyday lives. He explains, the Rishon are people who take rishus, permission, that the whole world is without restraint. Do what you please. They're above the law with no moral driver and no moral compass. Chataim are those who are ethically and morally off the spiritual mark and don't take this shortcoming in seriousness. They're off the mark as the word chata has its root in archery. And a leitz shares the same root as melitz, interpreter. These are the people who interpret the world in a distorted way. Be on spiritual alert, the pasuk tells us, because these are not the bad guys with machine guns and grenades. These are people we meet every day in our lives that may lead us astray. So why ish? Because this is our experience as the average man facing the everyday real world challenges. Why singular while the sinners are in plural? Because often we are surrounded by people, many people, who want to steer us in the wrong direction. And why in the negative? Because David knows the real world and knows how we face real obstacles and doesn't want to sugarcoat. He recognizes that even staying away from evil is a challenge that deserves recognition and ashrei, praise. But now, in Pasuk Beis, we hear the positive. Why is this man praiseworthy? What should we all be striving for? Ki im b'toras Hashem chatzo uvesoraso yage yomam v'layla. Rather, the teaching of Hashem is his delight, and he studies that teaching day and night. These are words that may sound familiar. We've heard them before in Yehoshua Perak Aleph. V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. Immerse in it day and night. Day and night, note, not night and day, because it's from the time that we wake up until the time we go to bed. It's written in terms of the human experience. The Medrash Shochar Tov highlights the words Toras Hashem and Toraso. When one starts to study Torah, one bridges the gap between Hashem's Torah and one's own Torah, making it Toraso, one's own. One incorporates and assimilates and integrates the words of the Torah into one's very being. There is an interesting Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Tes, Amud Aleph, 19a. The Gemara provides a strategy as to how to learn Torah. First, whet your appetite by acquainting yourself with the entirety of the Torah text in a more basic way, Toras Hashem Chavtso, make the Hashem's Torah your desire, and then go back and analyze the psukim, the thoughts, the message, uvesaraso yege yomam v'layla. In his Torah, he meditates day and night. Doesn't this sound like Nachyomi? Acquaint oneself with the prakim, with the psukim, with hopefully the eventual goal to return and learn more deeply. So now we have a sense of the positive quest of the Ish. This is a person immersed in Hashem's Torah, the Torah in surround sound. So after laying out the description of the praiseworthy man, we now read of a parable, a mashal. V'haya ke'et shasul al palge mayim, asher piryo yitain bi'ito, v'aleyu lo yibol, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. He shall be like a tree planted alongside brooks of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf never withers, and everything that he does will succeed. This same tree is described by Yirmiyahu in Perek 16 and in Pirkei Avos, chapter 3, Mishnah 17. A tree who represents man in his staunchness, in his steadfastness, his commitment to Hashem and his Torah. Rav Shamsham Rafael Hirsch so eloquently describes the strong tree. The tree does not fear when the storm sees, shake it, and bend it. It does not move or veer from its place, and so long as it is not uprooted from its place, it shall surely continue to stand. This same is true for a person. So long as he is attached to his spiritual roots, no wind can uproot him from his place. Just the opposite. The storms awaken the spirit of renewal. And Ish is someone who is shasul. He replants himself in a higher realm by streams of water, unlike a rasha who is natua, planted, rooted, cannot and will not grow beyond himself. Rav Shamsham Rafael Hirsch so beautifully describes palge mayim, brooks of water, all emanating from the same water source, an allegorical description of the Torah, coming from one divine source to saturate life with nourishment, spiritual nourishment. And this tree is a success. Or the man the tree represents, our Ish, is successful accomplishing what he is aiming to do. He's able to carry through on his mission. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch connects the words Hatzlacha with the verse in Shmuel Beis, 19:18, V'tzalchu hayarden lifnei hamelech, and they crossed the Jordan in front of the king. Success is to carry something from beginning to end, from one side to the other side, to take an idea to implementation. The Ish knows that success comes from spiritual focus on Hashem and his Torah, and that is what carries him. Piryo yitein bi'ito va'alehu lo yibol. He gives fruit. He has a legacy. His mission perpetuates. Teacher to student, parent to child, mentor to mentee. And even his leaf, his mundane aspects of his life, areas that may seem inconsequential, have worth. But lo chen harisha'im ki im kamotz asher titfenu ruach. Not so the wicked. Rather, they are like chaff that wind drives away. Kamotz comes from the word motzeitz, to suck out, like a pacifier. Every bit of nutrition is sucked out of that chaff. Even if it retains its shape, the chaff is empty. There's no seed. There's no support of the stem. It is just blowing in the wind. This Rasha, there's no continuity. There is no seed. He has no roots. There is nothing that grounds him. Al kein, therefore, Pasuk 5, Lo yakumu risha'im ba'mishpat, v'chata'im ba'das tzadikim. Therefore, the wicked will not be vindicated in judgment, not the sinful in the assembly of the righteous. The risha'im will not rise up. These are the Rishaim who Rav Hirsch explained were above the law. They had no boundaries. They did not restrict their actions. They will not be vindicated. While the Chata'im, those who were off the mark, will rise for judgment, and they will be given the opportunity to make amends. Why? Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim, v'derech Rishaim toved. For Hashem attends the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Yodea, Hashem knows, and he watches the tzaddikim, so he can assure them a reward. By contrast, the ways of the wicked are doomed. They will be lost. It's inevitable they will self-destruct. Toved, it loses itself. There will not be continuity of the evildoer's mission. The parak is framed. It begins with the praising of the man who avoids the wicked, and then assures reward for those who follow in this man's ways, and highlights what will become of the evildoers. So why lead with this perek? How does it set the tone for what's to come? This perek speaks about connecting to Hashem and building a relationship, recognizing that one has to make the right choices and follow the right path. How? It's as simple as don't go on the path of evil. Make Torah yours, and you will be successful in your journey. But simple it's not. And that's why there is 149 more prakim, to elaborate, expound, delve into, and share words. Words that carry us in sickness, in joy, from generation to generation, as we recite Tehillim. The space Tehillim occupies in our collective national heart is captured by a story that happened just the other day. Shlomo Dror writes, "This morning I was standing in a bakery in Yerushalayim and noticed I was standing behind Natan Sharansky. I summoned my courage and told him I had just cited his book this week in a class on Tehillim. I told my students the inspiring story of how Natan Sharansky kept a tiny book of Tehillim with him at all times, even when he struggled with authorities to get it back. Sharansky smiled, reached into his shirt pocket, and pulled out that tiny palm-sized tattered book of Tehillim. I asked him, 'Do you carry that wherever you go?' Sharansky didn't even pause. He replied, 'Actually, it carries me.' And so together we embark on the timeless journey of Tehillim and Ksuvim together. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef."